And I put you all to sleep with a PowerPoint this afternoon, but I've common sense got the better of it. The first thing I just want to make one quick point, two words, citizen journalist. And I put a full stop between those two. Citizen full stop, journalist full stop. And I think that one of the key things that came out this morning was the critical importance of the media to a functioning democracy. And then we've got citizen hyphen journalist. And the question of filtered or not filtered news. And a whole bunch of quality issues that centre around celebrity journalism and celebrity journalists. And then I think technology, which is my next major slide two, technology. And the question I think there is really, what will the journalists of the future do? And the question is around what will they look like, who will they be, where will they work, how will they work? And I think one of the key things that came up is about skill sets. Jack of all trades, master of none. Will journalism suffer as a result? And what about the public intellectual role of journalism? The role of researching, disclosing, recording, informing, and entertaining? That seems to be the key basics that people are talking about. The key skill set of journalists is those intellectual skills. Everything else is just platform. Or is it? My next slide, demography. Is the changing face of New Zealand reflected and represented in the media? And I think the simple answer to that is no. And so the question that follows is, so what do we do about it? And there's a number of demographic kind of splits. I mean, you know, we've talked about the increasing Asianisation of New Zealand society, the growing number of Maori and Pacifica Island communities, the changing colour, if you like, of New Zealand space. But we also have an age split in that demographic. I mean, I don't know how scientific this is, but I would argue that most people under 25 no longer read newspapers. People over 50 still do. Almost nobody rushes home from work anymore for appointment TV for the evening news bulletin. You know, I've pretty much given up watching evening news. I haven't watched, you know, regularly for 3 or 4 years. I used to be addicted to it, but now I've kind of weaned myself off that. We're getting our news from all kinds of other different places. But those kinds of demographic issues have an impact on content and also on the commercial side of the media. If audiences are declining, the revenues are going down, content suffers. That seems to be one of the key things that we talked about this morning. So my next slide is called Political Economy. And I think, obviously, we have to be aware of the impact of globalisation. People have said, and it's right, that New Zealand is not an isolated case here. It's part of the global media world now. And you can see the wave coming. I mean, the money men got into Australia about 12 months ago when the government deregulated the media industry, and now Ironbridge is here, and who knows what the next wave will be. But the finance capital guys have got their fingers in the media pie, and they're not going to let go easily. And the questions there really are about the homogenisation and the dumbing down of journalism. Is that a consequence, a necessary side effect, if you like, of globalisation? And one of the key questions that came up this morning, I think Judy might have brought up actually, is can good journalism coexist with corporate ownership? I think that's a fundamental fault line, as Judy described it, and it's absolutely right. It's the key kind of dialectic force for change at the moment in journalism. Public interest versus profit. Can we resolve that conflict? I don't think we can. If we've got to live with it, how do we best manage that fractured relationship? And I suppose media regulation. For example, cross-media ownership laws. Now, in Australia, 1987, the Keating government Paul Keating was the Labor Prime Minister, made the famous statement, "Princes of print or queens of screen." And he basically put a brick wall between ownership of television stations and ownership of newspapers in the same media market. That's now being pulled out from under the Coonan reforms. Helen Coonan, which was communications minister, they've just abandoned all of that now, and it was a free-for-all. I mean, you know, the government ministers were all running around saying, oh, no, nothing's going to change. A week before the legislation got the Royal Seal of Approval, the Packer family has divested itself 50% of PPL to the money men. Kerry Stokes similarly followed suit a week or so later, and we're now seeing the fallout of all of that, the regionalisation of the media and the conglomeration, the concentration of media in the capital cities. And now, Fairfax is looking vulnerable, I think. There's arguments about whether it's going to be a target or whether it's going to be a tool for other takeovers. And I don't know, but certainly PBL was talking about, them ditching all of their television assets. What's Rupert Murdoch going to do in Australia? It's well known he wants to cannibalise Fairfax, probably keep the thing with you, but dump the rest of it. That could be a disaster for journalism, for journalists and for the public. So it's really about, I guess, the solution thing is something that Simon brought up, which is the idea of commercial and non-commercial alternatives. And he talks about community newspapers and other forms of media. And I would like to add to that mixed student journalism. You know, there's some discussion going on at the moment about the possibility of having a kind of national student news agency that hooks up all the journalism schools to provide non-commercial content that's outside the mainstream. And I think that would be a good idea, and I'm certainly in favour of talking to the journalism schools about that, and the JTO and also the genes about doing those possibilities. Under political economy, I had to put a separate slide together called Wages and Conditions, because I think that got the biggest cheer of the morning. Should we be all, in fact, giving up? Maybe I should stop teaching journalism and open a culinary school. It might actually make me richer and also make my students wealthier as well. Is that one of the key reasons I've been defining standards? Is the poor, and I mean very poor state of wages. I was shocked when I got here in January from Australia just to see how low starting wages are for journalists and how low salaries are for senior journalists. It's appalling. It's disgusting. It should change. And I think the media companies who are making mega profits globally should ring up Tony O'Reilly and say, listen, Tony, if you don't want your investment in New Zealand to go down the toilet, how about cop up some dough for the journalists who work on your publications? Because that has an impact on the quality of news. You know, there's a famous thing, isn't there, about if you get enough monkeys in the room, eventually they'll produce some work by Shakespeare. Well, I don't think journalists are monkeys and they shouldn't be paid peanuts. In the newsroom itself, one of the questions that came up, I think it was Judy again, how do we get more debate into the newsroom? This is a fantastically important question. Because if journalists don't start making those changes themselves, and if we don't start connecting with the broader public, then nothing's going to change. You know, we're just going to see the continuing slow decline of the media as a force for change in our society. It's not going to get any better unless we do something about it. That's quite obvious. The self-reflection and self-critique of journalism is actually incredibly important, and I was very annoyed with Chris Trotter this week for that piece that was in the Don Post yesterday that just poured a bucket on just about everybody in this room. And I was particularly upset because as a journalism educator, you know, I don't go around the classroom beating good ideas and beating idealism out of my students. I strongly encourage exactly the opposite. Because to me, journalism is not just about reporting the world, journalism is about changing the world. And if you don't have bright young students coming through who are enthusiastic and passionate, and want to question things, and want to know answers, and want to demand change, well, you're not going to make the state of journalism any better. But if they get out of the newsroom and they get the solution, because after 5 years they're still earning less than $40,000, well, if they go to the public relations, good luck to them. So finally, the question of what do we do about this? Judy raised a very good point, and I'm a socialist, and I don't mind admitting that. And basically, I think the role of organised labour and collective action is the key to all this kind of stuff. And it was really an oblique mention or oblique reference to class. And I think that's important. Most of our audience is actually not, you know, aspirational middle class people. They might think they are, but they're actually workers. They're actually members of the proletariat. They're blue collar, grey collar, and white collar workers. That's our audience. And if you think about it, as unionists, they're our most important allies. They are incredibly important to our future. If we can mobilise other trade unions and other workers and other people around New Zealand to support a campaign for the improvement of journalism and the media, that could be a fairly powerful force. So we need to work together in the newsroom and out of the newsroom, journalists and non-journalists alike, to increase media literacy, to increase public awareness of the dire conditions under which journalism is practiced in this country, and to actually do something about it. And I think tomorrow is when we're going to be talking about this. And I just want to finish by saying I think Judy's idea of doing some kind of communique from here is a very good idea, and I'd like to add another one to that. That we actually form some kind of public action committee to say, I don't know what you're going to call it, but, you know, there's organisations in other parts of the world that have got similar kinds of roles. Friends of the ABC, there's organisations right across Europe and North America who have this kind of function. But I think we need some kind of public subscription organisation. It's more than just the Our Media website. It's actually a real campaign with real aims and objectives, and that really kind of takes this debate out into the public. There's a huge amount of stuff going on at the moment. One of the things that's not talked about here yet is the changes to the TVNZ chart. What the hell are they doing about that? At the moment, I don't know. The submissions haven't been made secret. We tried to get a story out of them for our student newspaper last week, and they would tell us virtually nothing. But those things are quite important. The Broadcast Standards Authority is reviewing its standards at the moment. These are all massive public debates that we should be involved in. And we have to take it beyond the walls of this room, and I hope you do. Thank you.